Vaping and e-cigarettes has for a while been seen as something that's an alternative to your normal tobacco physical cigarettes that you can buy at a shop. But it's also become somewhat of a cool kid trend at universities for people and students to smoke those e-cigarettes. But over 76% of university students that are exposed to e-cigarette promotions. That's a bit alarming. What do you make of this figure? And also, what does it tell us about the reach of the vaping industry, especially when it comes to young people in South Africa?
So thank you for the question. So first of all, this study was prompted by a previous study done in collaboration with our PhD student at the University of Pretoria and a professor at the University of Pretoria, Professor Ayo Yusuf. And what they found, what the student found was that among the 240 vape shops that he could map that were existing in South Africa then, about 60% of them were located not so far from university campuses. So we decided to do a study to look at actual exposure, because that study did not talk to students. That study only used data already available. And so we did this study to find out how much students are actually exposed to e-cigarette advertisements, marketing, promotions. And we were very shocked to find out that, you know, about 3 in 4 of them are exposed to this. So the bottom line is that we know that the industry is looking for new customers. They are not targeting smokers. They may say on paper and in the news that they are targeting smokers, but the data is showing that they are not targeting smokers. They are targeting young people, children, people in high school, people in the university. Many of them, for the first time, they are just leaving their parents' home, and so they are prone to peer pressure, and they're prone to, you know, this idea of trying to try out things, because that's the age anyway. So with all the nice flavors and all the interesting promotions, including the ones done on social media, we are not surprised to see this. And even in some shops, the kiosk that is set up in the malls, we've seen where they even write, try it before you buy. Like, how do you target smokers by doing that? So it's obvious that the target is young people. And interestingly, like what I presented today at the event, this is not something that is just happening for the first time in the tobacco industry's history. It has been happening before. One of the papers from the tobacco industry that I presented was showing how they were worried that people were going to quit because of the influx or the promotion of smoking cessation aids. They were worried. They said quitting is more harmful, is a threat to their business than even those who are competing with them. And so you see that the aim of the industry is all about profit. And that is why we call on all those concerned to put the health of the children and the people of South Africa first.
Now, you know, at universities, you won't find tobacco companies giving out free samples of cigarettes. But we see free samples of your e-cigarettes and your vapes being given out to students at university. Now, you mentioned a moment ago that what drives the tobacco industry is it's purely profit. They're worried about people quitting smoking entirely. So is this not a direct attempt to try and keep people hooked on nicotine and just repackage a cigarette into something different so that, you know, people stay hooked and to get new people hooked as well under the guise of having some sort of healthier choice or even under the guise of trendiness as well?
Yes, you have actually taken the words out of my mouth. That's exactly the intention. And this is not something that is speculative. This is something that is contained in their documents. Because in 1998, they were forced to release their internal documents. And these documents are available online. They are being housed by the University of California, San Francisco, in their library. And if you want to find out some of their intention about the manufacturing of e-cigarettes, they are all there. the public can, anyone and everyone, and at any time can have access to these documents. What you have just said is exactly what is put on their document, that they want to keep the market, and that they feel that there is an attempt to make nicotine in a way that it will make people quit. Mm-hmm. And so they want to make sure that they capture the market so that they can remain in business. And for us who are in tobacco control, we are not interested in them remaining in business to continue to hook people on nicotine, especially because most of the people who smoke today, about 80% of those who currently smoke, they started smoking when they were teenagers. So it's not a surprise that we see SAPS finding vapes among children in high schools in Pretoria here in Fane. So it's very interesting that, you know, this is not catching the attention of those who say they want to protect children. Mm. Most of the time they will tell you that, oh, we are not marketing to children. So who are those selling to the children? Where are they buying them from? Mm. And that is why the current bill, it's supposed to make sure that these things are brought under control. But what do we find? The industry is fighting the same bill that is supposed to protect the people, that is supposed to make sure that this problem is taken care of. You rightly said that you don't usually would find cigarettes free packs, although it's happening pedestrianly. It's happening, you know, one-on-one. If you ask students, they'll tell you, you know, one or two stories. But you can't see it being obviously done the way vapes are now being done, being like made as if it's a free-for-all, because there is no law.
Mm.
And until we have a law, it's going to be very difficult. And unfortunately, we are talking about nicotine, a very addictive product that's sometimes comparable to cocaine. So once people are hooked, nicotine takes over. It's no longer their choice. They may experiment because their friend is doing it, because they saw their significant others doing it. But once they taste the product and they get hooked, nicotine takes over. It becomes an addiction. They are no longer in control of the choice that they've made. And that is why we are very concerned. We at the SMRC, we are very concerned about prevention, about making sure that children don't start. Because once they start, we know it is difficult to quit.
Now, there seems to be this idea around vaping being somewhat of a safer alternative to smoking your traditional cigarettes. And if you speak to, you know, people, especially students at university who are vaping, they will tell you that, oh, it's just a small percent of nicotine that is contained in that vaping liquid that they throw in their vapes. Based on the research that you have done, how valid are the claims that, you know, vaping is somewhat of a safer alternative to your traditional smoking?
So, first of all, it's not true. Many of the students don't even know whether the vapes that they're consuming contain nicotine or not. I don't have the stats off my head now, but many of the students, we've done studies asking, do you know, what do you smoke? What do you use? Do you know if it's having nicotine or not? Some of them say they don't know. So how would they know how the quantity of nicotine they're taking? Because most of everything that they should feel have been masked with flavors, sweet flavors, candy flavors, chocolate flavors, and so on. So these flavors mask the nastiness of these products, so they can't tell. An average person can't tell. Even us that are scientists, we can't just tell by looking at it. It has to be taken to the lab to be able to know whether this product contains nicotine or the amount of nicotine that the product contains. But there have been studies that have been done taking samples of products, e-cigarettes that are supposed to be non-nicotine electronic delivery systems. And what was found was that many of them had nicotine, even though the packs mentioned that they don't have nicotine. So it's very interesting. The issue about e-cigarette being safer, it's actually a myth, because there are so many factors you have to put together to be able to say one product is safer than the other. When someone is taking e-cigarette first thing in the morning and vaping all through the day, before you go to school, at break time, any opportunity you have, you can't say that person is in a safer space than someone who may be taking one cigarette in every 3 days. So the bottom line is that there are even some substances in the vapes that you don't find in cigarettes. The substances in the vape, the vapor that is produced is also tinier and has greater access into the body, the cells of our body. So it's interesting that, you know, somebody can just wake up and say, oh, this is 95% safer, like they say. But I have always challenged the industry, produce that lab study that comparison was done. Let us evaluate it. But there's none. Because the study that this was based on was just 13 people sitting in London and making a decision that, oh, this product is safer than the other. There is no lab study, none whatsoever. So we need young people to understand that they don't know what they are consuming. E-cigarettes contain a lot of harmful chemicals, including nicotine, and that is what keeps them, you know, going back to the product. It's not just because they like the flavor. It's actually the nicotine that keeps them addicted. And there are some e-cigarette versions that are made from synthetic nicotine, which are more potent. They reach the brain faster, give the quicker hit. And so you get people, you know, you get students or young people who are trying out these variation of products getting hooked even faster than the normal e-cigarette. So because the products are so diverse in the market, it's also very difficult to say this product is safer than the other. Some people use tank modes, for example, that they can tweak. They can tweak the temperature and make it burn even higher than the normal e-cigarette. That, of course, will produce more constituents that are harmful. So there are so many things that, you know, you need to put in the mix to be able to say, okay, this person may be taking it at a safer level than the other. At the end of the day, that product is harmful, and it has been found to be harmful. And even though it's new in the market, there are still studies that have been done showing that they harm the health. Those who have asthma, who use e-cigarettes, they are more prone to having asthma attack. It gives you cardiovascular problems. It also sometimes even explodes and kills people. And then children sometimes get a hold of the e-liquid bottles, you know, that have been thrown around by, you know, their parents or other adults, and then they ingest it, and there's also nicotine poisoning that have been reported. So many things that you wouldn't find with e-cigarettes, we are finding them with e-cigarettes. So at what level do we want to do the comparison of being safe? Do you have cigarettes that explode? No, we don't. So at the end of the day, I think it's all about making sure that our health is protected. We only have one life, and the best we can do with it is to protect it as much as possible for anything that is harmful to it.
Now, earlier, Catherine, you mentioned that, you know, when it comes to one of the reasons why at universities, for example, you don't see free samples of cigarettes being given out, but you can see free samples of vapes being given out, is the fact that vaping isn't as regulated in South Africa as cigarettes or your traditional cigarettes. So when it comes to South Africa's draft control of tobacco products and electronic delivery systems bill, what still needs to be done to regulate vaping more?
So the current bill has what it takes to make sure that the vapes are regulated. Currently, I would say there's no law. I think the only law that we have on paper that can say, yes, this is a law that speaks to vaping, is the one it's a rule that was put by the South African Pharmacy Council banning all pharmacies from selling e-cigarettes in their pharmacies because, according to them, that is not a medicine. It hasn't gone through SAHPRA to get clearance to be sold as a medicine in pharmacies. So every pharmacy in South Africa have been banned from selling these products because, of course, the claim that the industry has been making, of course, is false because they haven't subjected the product to the regulations that normal medicinal products would have gone through. And so when it comes to, you know, the e-cigarette regulation, what we have in the bill is actually what we need. But unfortunately, it's being challenged. That bill is going to regulate the sale, the manufacturing and advertisement of these products, just like cigarettes. So they won't be allowed to set up billboards as they now do to encourage people to vape. They won't be allowed to target children. They won't be allowed to sell to children. They won't be allowed to sell online, because now some children, their parents don't even know they buy from online. They won't be allowed to do that. So many things that we have with cigarettes that we used to have with cigarettes that are stopped, that the vape industry is now doing, would be stopped if this bill passes. And what it would take is just for Parliament. The bill is currently in Parliament. There are public hearings that are happening right now, and deliberations taking place. Of course, we also have the industry pushback. Late last year and the first quarter of this year, we were at NEDLAC because the industry insisted and kept making a noise about the fact that the bill has not been processed through the NEDLAC procedure. And so the government went to NEDLAC. I was one of the delegates of the government, and we were there engaging. And interestingly, after the industry had succeeded in summoning the government to go back to NEDLAC, after they had gone twice, they have come out now to be condemning the process because it didn't go their way, because they didn't have an opportunity to discard the bill. This important bill that has been in the works for more than 7 years, they wanted it to be discarded. And so because that wasn't granted to them, they are now condemning the NEDLAC process, which they initiated, which they wrote petitions that government must, you know, go back to NEDLAC. And now that it's been done, the next stage is for Parliament to sit and have all the oral presentations, and then and the bill will be voted upon. But unfortunately, they are, you know, still antagonizing the bill, antagonizing the process, and wanting, you know, South Africa to not have a law. The interesting thing is this. They keep pointing to other countries. Oh, let's do like Sweden. Let's do like the UK. If you go to these countries, these products are regulated. They are not available in a free-for-all market. I don't know why they want that to be in South Africa, where any and everybody can buy and sell and target children and get them hooked, and just so long as their profits are intact. So the countries they are pointing us to, they are regulating the products. There are even better examples of countries in Africa that are similar to our setting that we could emulate. There is Uganda, there is Ethiopia, there is Senegal, there is Burkina Faso. These countries are regulating this product. They are making sure that these products are not available for every and anyone. Uganda actually banned it, if I remember correctly, completely. But South Africa is not banning it. Yet they keep pushing the narrative that these products are going to be banned. There is nowhere in the bill where it is said that after the bill is passed, there will be no vapes sold in South Africa. We are saying, you say you want adults who are smoking to have access to these products. We say we want to protect children from having access to these products by this bill. If you look at it on face value, we are supposed to be on the same page, right? Because you want only adults, we don't want children to be targeted. So if there's a law that bans children from having access, why would you go against it? So that's a big question that they are not answering.